It's so good to gather with each of you, both here and online, to worship and praise the Lord together. Isn't He a great God? It's going to be all right. You may not like it, but it's going to be all right. Hey, it's especially good this morning to have the opportunity to welcome back into our fellowship in person today our brother Steve Clarkson, his lovely wife Cassie. Been through a lot here recently, and barns and home and hearts and back with us. God is good all the time. Welcome. And welcome to each and every one of you. We have begun a new series called True Lies. Don't you believe them? Last week, we gave you a simple definition of truth. Truth is that from which there is no variance. That means that if it is true, then it will be true for everyone, every time, all the time. Or it's not really true. We kicked it off last weekend looking at a lie that many, many people have bought into and are living by it today. That lie was the truth is relative. You know that what is true for me may not be true for you, and vice versa. All these lies we will look at in this series, people have chosen to believe them as truth. And they make sense to them somehow, and a lot of others as well, when actually, at best, they are true-ish. By the way, ish is a word. It is in the dictionary. The dictionary defines ish as having a trace or touch of, sort of, kind of. So true-ish means somewhat true, not completely true. Or you might think it's true. And again, that's how Satan has lied to the human race since the beginning of time in the Garden of Eden. Remember when he tempted Eve to eat the forbidden fruit? She told him, God said, no, we're not supposed to do that. In the day we eat from that fruit, we would die. And Satan told her, well, that's true-ish, but it's not really true. And actually, he was true-ish. Adam lived to be 930 years old. And although the Bible does not specifically say it, it's assumed that when Eve died, she was about 900-ish. And while it's true they did not die physically that very day they ate of the forbidden fruit, that very day they did begin both a spiritual and a physical death. Spiritually, they were separated from God. They were kicked out of the garden, the utopian home that He had created for them. And physically, immediately, access to them, to the fruit from the tree of life, was taken away. And if you read the Genesis account closely, you'll see that's why they were thrown out of the garden, not just because of their sin. Read with me and follow along. Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. That was God's intent when He created Adam and Eve, was that we would have that fruit and we could eat it and live forever. The true fruit fountain of youth. So, The Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground which he had been taken from. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth. Why? To guard the way to the tree of life. Kind of like Obi-Wan Kenobi standing guard at the gate. A flashing sword. You ain't coming this way. If you think about it, we use the word ish a lot. After a big lunch, dinner time rolls around and your wife says, "Are you hungry?" And you might say, "Ish." You're single, just went on a blind date, and your friends ask, "Was he cute?" And you might say, "Ish." Did you have a good time? And you might say, "Ish." A man may ask a woman how old she is, if he's really stupid. And she might say, "I'm 40-ish. Listen, this is important because we live in a culture where when it comes to what is true, there is a whole lot of ish. In fact, I think we are bombarded every day with things that are true-ish. Let me give you a couple of fun examples as we get started this morning. I'm going to use the world of advertising. And I'm not picking on advertisers. It's not like advertising is bad. We advertise MCC all the time. I just think that the world of advertising has some of the most amazing examples of true-ish claims. And here's why. Is it an advertiser's motive to tell you the whole truth? No, that's not a trick question, is it? No, of course not. What is an advertiser's motive? To sell you something. And they will use any means necessary. I'm going to show you two of my favorites. In fact, most experts agree that when it comes to advertising, these are the two most effective advertisements and statements made that advertisers have ever used. The first one comes from a product all of us know. M&M's. Anybody here love M&M's? I certainly do. What is the slogan M&M has used for years on all of us? Yeah. Milk chocolate melts in your mouth, not in your hands. They have told us that since 1954. Excuse me, I'm going to put these in my pocket so I don't run off and forget them. My question, though, is that claim true? And, you know, if you live in Alaska, you could probably say, yeah, that's true. But if you live in Arizona and you hold M&Ms in your hand, you know what will happen. It will eventually look like this. It will melt in your hands. But my favorite claim in our culture today from an advertiser comes from this company. Watch this. Really? Every kiss begins with K? And we're talking about K Jewelers, not the letter that it starts with. Now, I'm sure some of you out there have had a few kisses that began with K, but every kiss? But do you realize that Kay's Jewelers spent over $600 million to imprint their brand on your brain last year alone. Overall, in 2019, advertising was a $223.7 billion industry. To sell us something, not to tell us the whole truth. Now, before we beat up on advertisers too much, let's be honest. We like to get true-ish when it benefits us too, don't we? Young people, your parents ask if you cleaned up your room, and you say yes, and that's true-ish. Did you put all your clothes away? Yes. Well, you shoved them all under your bed, so I guess that's true-ish. And I'm so glad that now we are adults, we have outgrown this ish thing, haven't we? But here's the reality. If we live with ish long enough, they become true lies and can have some devastating effects. So let's peel back one more layer of the onion and reveal another true lie that has crept into our culture and into our lives, including mine. Here it is. I should be free to do what I want, when I want, with whomever I want, as long as no one gets hurt. Hey, that's my right as an American. It's in the Constitution. It says right there, I have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I deserve to be happy. That's my right, and I can pursue it by doing what I want, when I want, with whom I want, as long as no one gets hurt. There's a little bit of that in you and a little bit of that in me. So this morning, let's just open the scriptures again and look at three things about this true lie that all of us should know. Number one, it's not new. It's not new to our culture in America. If you think that, nothing could be further from the truth. I invite you to turn in your Bible to John chapter 18. Even the culture Jesus grew up in, it was a Roman culture. He grew up with the same thing. Let's look at an interaction that Jesus had with the most powerful person he ever talked to. He was the governor of Judea. His name was Pontius Pilate. And Jesus has this moment with him, and it is amazing. We get to peek into what Jesus thinks about truth, but we also get a peek into what the Roman culture thought about truth. Jesus is meeting with this Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, because he has been arrested and brought before him to determine his fate. And Pilate is questioning him about whether he is really a king or not. That was the charge they had brought against him. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 37. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world, you want to know why he came, is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Now listen, if you are here or just listening online today and you are not a follower of Jesus, that is a bold statement. Four chapters earlier, John chapter 14, Jesus said this, I am the truth. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you want to know what absolute truth is, if absolute truth exists, don't look to philosophy. Look to me. I am the truth. And it's interesting how Pilate answers him. Basically, Pilate answers, yeah, right. Listen to his response in the next verse. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. And then he walked away. Truth. What's truth? 1,000 years before Jesus was born, in the book of Judges, is recorded an amazing piece of history. If you know Bible history at all, you know that Moses led the people out of Egypt, and then he died. And Joshua became their leader and took them into the promised land. And he led them in truths and moral values from God. But when Joshua died, there was a period of about 300 years where there was no spiritual leader in Israel at all. No moral consensus of right and wrong. And the very last verse in the book of Judges tells us what happened during this 300-year period. Here's what it says. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. The English Standard Version says, people or everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And the Message reads, people did whatever they felt like doing. In other words, they did what they wanted, when they wanted, with whom they wanted. And here's what happens. And it doesn't matter if it was 3,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago, or today. Without a king, and I don't mean a dictator that rules over a country. I mean without an ultimate authority that you look to determine in your life what is right and wrong. Without a king, my definition of right and wrong becomes just about anything. Right and wrong becomes whatever I think, whatever I feel is right. Whatever, whenever, wherever, with whomever. And that's a bit of the culture we're living in today. But I just want you to know, it's not new. Now go with me on this, okay? When you were a child, who was your king? Who told you what was right and wrong? Yeah, your parents did. And there were consequences if you didn't follow the rules. But now that you're an adult, or think you are, I want to ask you the question. Who is your king? Who determines what is right and wrong in your life today? If it's still your peers, if you're just doing what everyone else is doing, if you wear what everyone else is wearing, if you use the same vulgar vocabulary everyone else is using, if you have the same prejudices everyone else has, you're not an adult, you're a puppet. And you don't even know who's pulling the strings. Why do people wear jeans with holes in them? Because everybody does. Who started that? Who said that's fashion? Why do people wear their baseball caps backwards? Why do stupid boys wear their pants down halfway their plumber attitude? You're just a puppet. You don't even know who's pulling the strings. That's not an adult. But if you are an adult, or if you're thinking for yourself and trying to be an adult, then who is your king? I'm willing to bet that if it's not God, you're just kind of doing whatever you want to do. Whatever is right in your own eyes. Let me ask you another question. How's that going for you? That leads us to number two. The second thing we need to know about this true lie. Now don't push me away. Let me explain this. The motivation is usually about me, not philosophy. What do I mean? To say that there is no absolute truth is a philosophy that breaks down logically and in life's experiences and practically. Even a college freshman knows that if you make this statement, there is no such thing as absolute truth. When you make that statement, you are making an absolute truth statement. And believe me, you will drop all the philosophical thinking when you walk into a bank for a car loan. How far do you think you will get with telling the loan officer, because I want that car? Well, I look good in that car. Because I feel like that's the car for me. It doesn't matter if I can afford to make the payments. Maybe I can, maybe I can't. But I think it's right for me. How quickly you think he's going to hand you a check? Or how about this? If you don't give it to me, I'll just take it. To believe I can do whatever seems right in my own eyes provides a covering over my life so I can do whatever I want. Look how the Apostle Paul told Timothy about this. This is the last book in the New Testament that Paul wrote. And he tells his young protege Timothy this. He predicted what would happen in our time. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit what? Their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Let me ask you a question. Who are these great number of teachers we've gathered around us saying what we want to hear? Who's telling us truth is relative? Telling us we can do whatever we want, whenever we want, with whomever we want. Telling us there is no absolute truth. Well, let me say that I think it's the super rich. They're the only ones that can afford it. Why? Because eventually you're going to need an attorney. You're going to need an army of attorneys to live how you want, when you want, with whom you want. All kidding aside, do you know the only people I hear sending this message today? It's the entertainment industry. It's movies, it's TVs, it's songs, it's singers and actors, it's athletes and superstars. We watch movies and we see people doing what they want, when they want, with everybody they want. And on the money we spend on their entertainment, we see they live like that in real life too. They own fancy cars and live in mansions. They travel in personal jets and see the world. And we look at that all the time and we say, man, look how they get to live. They have so much freedom, so much fun. I want that. And all the while, it's only true-ish. The money, the jewelry, the fashions and fame blind us to all the divorce and drugs and abuse and suicide that goes right along with it. But outside the entertainment's fantasy world and the few rich, nobody is telling you that's how to be successful and happy. Can you imagine you finally get to have your graduation? And the principal stands and addresses your graduating class, and he says something like this. Class of 2020, it's been a very different time for you. But as you leave this phase of your life and begin a new chapter, as you leave these hallowed halls behind you, as you go out into the world to make your stamp on life, let me give you this one last piece of advice, this one tip on how to be happy and successful. You go out there and you just do whatever you want. Whenever you want, with whomever you want. And you will always be successful and happy. Now go get them, class of 2020. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a policeman saying that to you? Hey, kid, next time you want to get out of trouble, just do what you want. Can you imagine your doctor saying that to you? Nah, just do what you want. Let's get a little personal. How about that relationship you destroyed? Or that marriage that went astray? Did anyone ever come back to you and say, you know why we didn't work out? It was because you never did what you wanted to do. You never did what you wanted to, when you wanted to, with whomever you wanted to. I mean, you kept thinking about me and about the kids, and it destroyed everything. No one's ever said that. You know that little phrase we put on the end of this true lie, as long as no one gets hurt? Well, remember how Paul said they turn aside to myths. That's a myth. And it's the third thing we all need to know about this true lie. The truth is, someone always gets hurt. I want to tell you quickly about three groups of people who always get hurt when you live like this. When you live doing what you want, when you want, with whomever you want. The first one we tend to forget about is you eventually hurt you. Some of you have forgotten you are somebody. Let me read from the Message. It reads a little clearer that way. A passage in Romans. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. Offer yourselves to sin, for example. And it's your last free act. You always hurt you. And the second group is, you always hurt the people around you. Listen carefully. I want you to think about this seriously. If there is just one living person in your life who loves you, you cannot hurt you without hurting them. If you are married, if you have kids, it is impossible to hurt you without hurting your spouse or your kids. And some of you teenagers listening today, you've convinced yourself your parents don't love you. They don't care. So you're living this myth. You only live once. Go for the gusto. You deserve a break today. And you think it's not hurting your parents because they don't care anyway. Not about you. You want to know the truth? Some of you teens, your parents don't sleep at night because of the pain you are living in. It is impossible to hurt you and not hurt the people around you. Remember this simple phrase. Hurt people hurt people. It's a universal truth. And let me tell you about a third group of people who get hurt. It's a group we too often forget or even ignore. And to explain it, I'm going to get really personal, okay? Some of you are really weird. Look who's talking. Some of you are insecure. You get angry. You're loud. You argue all the time. You always have to be right. You're tough to be around. Let's be honest. And maybe you're growing up some, and you're trying to, you know, figure out why you are the way you are. Maybe you've had counseling or seen a psychologist, and you know what you found? You trace things all the way back to your childhood. Maybe to someone you loved. A mom, a dad, a teacher, coach, preacher. Or maybe to an event that shook your life terribly. Your mom or dad ran off. Or they were abusive. Or they died. A sibling stole your boyfriend. Or they got addicted to drugs. Or they overdosed and died. And you experienced that. And you know what you found? You found that someone in your life made a decision to do what they wanted, when they wanted, with whom they wanted, and they forgot to factor you in. And it has hurt you every day, every week of your life. You see, when you live a lifestyle of doing what you want, when you want, with whom you want, you also hurt the next generation coming after you. And this is sometimes the one we forget the most. The true lie is I can do whatever I want, when I want, with whomever I want, as long as no one gets hurt. But the absolute truth is somebody always gets hurt. So here's our takeaway. Do some soul searching. What is the one area of my life I need to stop doing what is right in my own eyes? You know what that area is. It calls for one thing: surrender. It's not about what I want, when I want it, with whom I want it. It's surrendering my will to your will. Nonetheless, not my will, but yours be done. Now, some people will find that hard because they think that if they were to come before God and admit that you realize, I've been trying to do it my way when I should have been doing it, when I should have been doing it your way, that God is going to look at them and say, I don't know you. You had a chance, you blew it. That's what we say to each other all the time. I'll never trust you again. I don't want to see you again. I don't want to ever talk to you again. You might be shocked, however, to find out what God is really like. Because instead of all those things, you know what God will offer you? Grace. Your grace still amazes me. Love. Your love is still a mystery. Forgiveness. And a second chance. And a third chance. And a fourth. And a fifth. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Jesus came to testify to the truth. If you're on the side of truth, listen to Him. God loves you. God loves you. And He's made it so simple. He's done everything necessary for all of this to be reconciled back to Him and you, as it were, in the Garden of Eden. And all He asks of you is that you come in true repentance. Not, I'm sorry, but I realize I need to change my life. And that change will only come when I surrender my life to you. And he says, well, then surrender to me. Do what my son did. Join him in Christian baptism. Not the washing of your flesh, not putting away the filth, not the dirt, but the being buried with him. Surrendering your old life and putting it away. And he says, I'll help you to rise from that watery grave to walk a new life. And I will fill you with my spirit to help you do it. Because we already know you can't do it on your own. And then instead of hearing, depart from me, you will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Isn't that what we all want? Father God, thank you this morning that although our sin, our choice to do what we want it, when we want it, with whom we want it, our sin has separated us from you. It got us thrown out of the garden. It got us into a physical death tangle. That in spite of all of that, your love is still so amazing. Your grace is so amazing that you have defeated both death and the grave. They have no victory. They have no sting. Your word gives us one of the greatest promises in the world, I think. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, those of us who are trying our best to walk with you and be in Christ Jesus, we understand that, and it still overwhelms us. You've never quit surprising us at how great your grace and mercy and forgiveness really is. And Father, there are some, however, who need to find that. They're seeking it, maybe don't even know what that's what they're looking for. But it is. And your invitation is open to all. Whosoever will may come. So help us all to make our decisions today to follow you and not try to buy into this true-ish lie that I'm free to do whatever I want as long as nobody gets hurt. Because the real truth is somebody always gets hurt. Thank you for your love and grace that will cover it. Thank you for your forgiveness that will bring us together again. Help us to accept it. In Jesus' name, amen.